So then election eve, it was a close vote, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it seesaw coming back and forth?
No, but on radio and television, if you didn't know what was going on, you'd have the impression that Wilkinson's winning this thing and he's running ahead. But we were getting reports from our people out in the field. You carried Adair County here, looks like, by 200 votes. But they don't have that yet in the report here. Finally, with Wilkinson still running ahead, my people said, okay, let's get ready. We're going to go down and declare victory. Went by to get my folks. My mother and father were in a different room. I came in there, and my mother was in tears. She said, I'm so sorry, Freddie. I said, no, we won this thing. We're going to go down and declare victory. We won it. By the time we get down there, everybody will know that. They could hardly believe it, but we went downstairs, and I don't know whether Wilkinson had called me then or not, but he did later. So by, I don't know, must have been 10 o'clock, I was elected.
By a close margin, was it?
Yeah. I think I was elected first by 51%.
He had 49%.
Yeah. I was really kind of sad because that was all my people in. I knew every person in that ballroom personally. I had seen him a lot. Right then I thought to myself, and I said this to him, I said, you and I are not going to always agree. I said it that night. If I agree with you all the time, I'd either be dishonest or I'd be a fool. We're just not going to agree. But you're never going to have to worry about what I stand for. I'm doing what I think is the right thing. But the thing I was thinking separately, too, was this is one of the most exciting things that ever happened in these people's lives. Now they have to go back home, and I get to go to Washington. To be governor, you stay right there. To be a senator, you've got to leave home. And we're never again going to be this close. I had already set up a plane to fly to Washington because there's a special election. And by 10 o'clock the next morning, I'd been sworn in as a senator.
Youngest senator-elect in the history of Oklahoma.
Yeah. Ted Kennedy was a year younger than me, so I was not the youngest senator at that moment.
You know the name Walt Helmrich?
Yeah.
Helmrich and Payne in Utica Square in Tulsa. And Walt Helmrich was one of the financial chairs for Bud Wilkinson. Walt told me in an interview that's heard on this website that after the election was over, Governor Bellman called Wilkinson and Walt into his office. And he as much as read the riot act to Bud, that you were just too pompous. Hmm. Walt said when Bud would go out to these small towns, he wouldn't talk football. He would talk about the gross national product. Walt told me, those people didn't know what the GNP was.
Right.
And he said, he could have said, well, your boy, John Smith, came from this area.
Yeah.
What a great boy he was.
Yeah.
And I loved him completely. And he said, he would have gotten votes like that. So Bellman said, you were just too pompous.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, Bellman certainly wasn't. I mean, he was a guy who really knew how to, as George Wallace said, put the hay down where the goats could get at it. When I went to Washington, I took with me two couples who'd been very active in my campaign. One was McCandless, and one was Harvey Porter, both their wives. They put me temporarily in the office where Edmondson had been. This is the very next day after the election. I went over then to the Secretary of the Senate's office with them. They came with me. They wanted to see me sworn in as a senator. So they sat in the anteroom, and they called me into the Burchard was there, and he explained to me about clerk hire, how much money you had for staff, and it's very complicated. I didn't understand any of it, but he told me all that. He had me sign my name, which is going to be printed up there instead of a stamp, for franking privilege, and then handed me a written form. Handy as far as I do. Signed that thing. Said, congratulations. And here's my wife and these other people are sitting out there in the anteroom, and I'm a senator. They came all the way to see me swearing in. I got back to the office. Mike Mansfield, the majority leader, called me. I thought, hey, I was just barely elected and already want to know how to run the government. His office in the Capitol. Mike said, could you come over for a cup of coffee? And I said, sure. So I hustled over there. And that was kind of funny, too. I punched a button in the elevator. And in those days, they had people running these elevators. I punched the senators only button. And the elevator comes at once. The door opened, not a soul on there but him. And he closed the door and went on. So I punched the senators only again, and here he came at once. The kid said to me, can't you read that says senators only? So I said, well, I am a senator. He said, oh, my God, who are you? I said, well, you wouldn't know. I just now elected Fred Harris from Oklahoma. Oh, get on, Senator. Get on. Excuse me. He said, do you want a car? You know, I thought he first means a real car, but he means the subway that goes underground to the Capitol. And I said, yeah. So he punched the button, which rings a bell down there, says the sender's on the way. I got there, and there it was, sitting there waiting with a driver. I sat down in the middle. I didn't know that the sender's normally sat up front. I just sat down there. We waited. And finally this guy said to me, I'm sorry, sir, but the sender is coming, and we have to wait on them. So I thought, well, shall I tell him? And about that time, a sender did come, and he recognized me. So he said, why didn't you sit up front? I said, well, I didn't know I was supposed to. So anyway, I'm Mansfield, and there was Joe Montoya and Robert Kennedy. It turned out all Mansfield wanted was to have a cup of coffee. Huh. You know, what I expect the majority leaders, here's the program and what committees, this and that. I said, I need to get on the Public Works Committee to finish up this Arkansas River Navigation Project. And he said, well, I hope you can. He said, of course, you need to talk to Carl Hayden about that. I thought, well, this is a funny leader. Anyway, but I met Robert Kennedy for the first time. Got back to my office, and who should call me but Clark Clifford. And in a little while, he showed up.
And he was?
He was a big-time lawyer and a huge influence peddler. He'd been on Truman's staff. He came in, and he had this wonderful double-breasted suit, coiffed gray hair. God, he was impressive. We went into my office. When he came out, first I said, that's about the most impressive guy I've ever met. Some staff people said, what'd he say? And I thought a minute, I said, well, he really didn't say anything much. He just said to me, how did you pull off that brilliant campaign? And I spent all that time telling him how brilliant I was. Also, though, he did this thing. Dean McGee had already told me, Kerr McGee. He said, Clark Clifford will be to see you. He's a lobbyist for Phillips Petroleum. So I already knew that. And so Clark Clifford said, what did Boots Adams do? She was a big financial backer of Bud Wilkinson. He said, oh, if he was. That's all he said. I turned it off right away. All that happened that day. The next day, we flew to New York just for the hell of it, the three couples of us, and went by to see Larry Spivak of Meet the Press. First of all, I went in with a cigarette in my mouth. And he said, could you put that out? I'm allergic to tobacco smoke. I said, oh, okay. Then I shook hands with him. He almost went to his knees. Turned out he had arthritis or something. Poor guy. I later appeared on Meet the Press a lot. But he said, why didn't you appear on Meet the Press like we asked you to jointly with Bud Wilkinson? I said, well, I wanted to, but I just couldn't work it into my schedule. He knew damn well that was a lie. I didn't want to be frozen in time at that moment nationally. Also, I didn't think it was a good idea to debate Wilkinson at that time, so I didn't do it.